the ones who rest in the valley, and my shadows open up. Bury all my expectations from a semi-normal lover with it burning in my palm, massaging into my blood. I try to fight away my urges. It's only gonna rope you up, girl. Hear me, I know my capabilities are breaking in. The only thing that saves you from your feelings of trust. Believe the angel on your shoulder when she comes.
How about that? Madison Greaves, Scar Gardens. Dope song, underground hip-hop artist from Seattle. Here we are, Rametown Riot, episode number 33. What's up, man? Glad to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I was on travel for work all last week. I was in San Diego, though, so no complaints.
Yeah? Tell us about your experience out there, pretty much just working. You get to check out any of the sports scene in San Diego, get in touch with any of the locals.
Actually, I ran into Ronnie Hillman. Which is
what?
Yeah, I ran into Ronnie Hillman. I forgot all about this.
Okay.
I had a few drinks in my system, but so I think my exact words was I tackled your ass.
You told him that?
Yeah.
What did he say to you?
He just shrugged and laughed or something. But anyway, I forgot I ran into him. But yeah, no, not much. I pretty much worked the whole time. Death by PowerPoint.
So you were just at a bar or something and Ronnie Hillman showed up?
Yeah, it was kind of like
I guess it's that time of the season for the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, I didn't even know if he's on the Chargers still, is he? I don't even know. That guy's bounced around everywhere. He got a cup of the Broncos, went to Minnesota. I thought he was with the Vikings, but he wouldn't be in San Diego if he was with the Vikings, so.
Interesting. He's not going to make it. It seemed like a pretty good scat back.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that because I completely forgot about that.
Pretty funny. Pretty funny stuff. All right, so what's on the agenda today-wise as far as
Well, we got to start.
Rioteers, yeah, let's get this thing going.
What we have to start with is UNM football. They're playing in a bowl game this weekend. Lobos are 8-4 on the season. They're playing in the New Mexico Bowl. And I actually talked to a couple people that set up the New Mexico Bowl and this type of thing and why the Lobos chose New Mexico Bowl. And so how the Mountain West Conference works is there is two of the big bowls dedicated to the Mountain West Conference. And number one bowl went to San Diego State. Because they won the conference.
Okay.
So they automatically got that one. And then there was one other big one that Wyoming is playing in, which is really frustrating as a Lobo fan because the Lobos crushed Wyoming. However, the bowl committee chose Wyoming over New Mexico. It comes down to their own bowl committee choosing who they want, and they chose Wyoming over New Mexico. So that's why Wyoming got the second bigger bowl. And then after that, there are other like four bowls that are dedicated to the Mountain West Conference. Long as their teams are good enough, is filtered around through record and location and how all that stuff works and whatever suits them best. And so they all kind of negotiate. And Coach Bob Davey wanted to stay in New Mexico. He wanted to play in New Mexico Bowl. So that kind of was the overwhelming driving factor for that.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good situation for us hanging out in New Mexico.
I don't have to travel now to go watch them.
Yeah. Hoping for how many fans showing up to this Lobo game? 50,000?
We don't hold 50 in our stadium.
How big is our stadium?
43 is like max.
That's what we're shooting for.
We're shooting for 43. I'm shooting as a fan here, I'm shooting for above 30.
Okay. And we're on ESPN, right?
Yeah, we're the first game of the bowl season. Bowl's always the first bowl game of the bowl season. It starts at 12 p.m. University Stadium. It's gonna be great. Mountain time, and the Lobos are 7-point favorites. So the only problem that makes me nervous with this, Bob, is the Lobos are playing University of Texas San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
So they're a fairly new program who they've done a great job at the quick time in that program, but I do not see them traveling well. I really don't. I don't see them bringing a lot of fans to the state. Maybe 2,000, 3,000 fans, but I don't see much more than that. Whereas last year, University of Arizona, who we played in the Mexico Bowl, obviously U of A is a huge school, right?
Mm-hmm.
They brought, it seemed like, at least 8,000 to 10,000 fans.
Yeah, yeah. I would be surprised if UTSA can pull the same type of support as Arizona. But, you know,
Arizona probably brought close to 12,000 fans. That whole side of the stadium was pretty much full.
Well,
and it was voted one of the best bowl games of the whole season. Lobos lost so close in the fourth. Lobos had the ball, a chance to tie or take the lead in the fourth quarter under 5 minutes and turned it over.
So tell us some more stuff. What do you know about UTSA?
So UTSA is 6-6 on the season.
Roadrunners.
The Roadrunners, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the mascot of my elementary school.
Hmm.
Yeah. You're homeschooled, so yeah. It didn't work out for you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We were the Lloyds.
But yeah, so University of Texas San Antonio, they're I would call them a mediocre team, honestly. I think that we should be having favorites. I looked at
the record, 6-6, yeah.
6-6, and they're not overwhelmingly dominant on offense or defense, but if I had to say a strength of their team is their running game and their defense.
Okay.
They're more of that style of team. The Lobos, they're the number one rushing team in the country. Mm-hmm. We average 428 yards a game rushing.
Nuts.
It's insane.
Nuts. 2 1,000-yard rushers on the season.
Yeah, Bob, I'm going to throw this stat off you real quick. And we both searched this a little bit, Bob, on this total yard stats the Lobos have are mind-blowing. And ESPN, every site, this was their stats. So we're saying, screw it, we're going to promote the Lobos, we're going for it. Lobos, averaging 615 yards a game on offense. That's absurd.
That's nuts.
That's not even video game numbers, in my opinion. That's like
when I used to play Madden when I was a little kid, and I would keep it on the easiest level so I could score like 35 points a game and progress my players the highest.
Yeah,
that's around the yardage I was getting. I think like 600.
Right,
that's nuts.
You know what surprises me more?
What's that?
According to ESPN, they only allow on defense 323 yards a game.
Yeah, so that's a 300-yard difference.
292-yard difference.
Seems like we should just be blowing everybody out.
It seems like we should be undefeated.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
But if you think about it, it's really just two games have been lopsided in the fact of not in the Lobos' favor. Colorado State and Boise State. Besides that, every game's been relatively close, or the Lobos have dominated a lot of stats.
Mm-hmm.
Rutgers, we dominated the Rutgers game in stats-wise. Even Mexico State, we dominated yards in that game. We just didn't win. So two of our losses, we outplayed them.
And we don't have a lot of losses.
We have four.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Potential for us to have 10 wins right now if a couple different things go our way. This has been a hell of a season, man. Hell of a Lobo team.
Yeah, it makes you
best
proud.
Best one in a long time, I can't remember.
Proud to be Lobo, right?
Yeah.
Let's go. So, Lobos 7-point favorites. I'm obviously going to pick the Lobos. I think the Lobos are going to come out and win this game fairly handily. I think it's going to be 14 points.
What about does it make you nervous at all having to be sometimes I feel like underdog mentality is important, and when you're the heavy favorites, it's hard to keep that underdog mentality.
Big time. This is the first bowl game in UTSA history.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're talking about motivation. They have motivated to win their first game.
Motivation, history. And you just, like, I feel like sometimes the pressure's on you. When you're expected to win,
you're right, but what about experience? I look at this, people don't factor this in very often, but in college football, it's really unique, the bowl season. In some cases, it can be a month to a month and a half away from the last game you played of the regular season. It's a long time. And when you get in the regular season mold, I mean, you have your schedule, right? Your ritual you do. You play on the Saturday, a Sunday you go in for treatment. Because you're always banged up.
Yep.
You try to watch a little tape if you can. Monday, it starts full-fledged the next team, right? You start full-fledged the next team and you go. But this one, you have a month to prepare for it.
Interesting.
So how is the mentality, how is the focus going to be?
And I'm not worried about momentum coming off the end of the season isn't really a factor having that many weeks in between.
It shouldn't, but it should keep them focused a little more.
Okay.
But I think... I'm more curious. I think the Lobos will be fine. They did this last year. They've now made bowl games consecutive year. They understand the process. Most players are back. But their first bowl game ever, University of Texas San Antonio, how is that focus going to be?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
I feel like there's a lot of variables at play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
pretty fascinating. I'll be excited to watch the Lobos, supporting them.
Yep. Bob can make a game this year. He doesn't have to work.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I'll be there.
There will be tailgating nice and strong. All right, Bob, prediction, what do you think?
Oh, dude, you know, I'm not going to pick against the Lobos.
What kind of game
would I do that
about?
For? I'm predicting 600 yards of rushing offense for the Lobos.
All right, this is a stupid question. We're going to move on to this. All right, so let's keep going football, though. So let's go with, I think there's so many damn bowl games, Bob. There is literally a ridiculous amount of bowl games in college football.
Yeah. Do you got any idea how many?
No. But I think there's...
Like over under 20.
Over.
Oof. 30?
I will get that exact number for you. But okay. Here, let's get your thought on this. I think it's really interesting that the college football playoff seems to overshadow the bowl games now to such a high degree that it's pretty wild.
Like, had to be done.
It had to be done. You want the best, you want the playoff. It's so exciting. That's only four teams. Remember the bowl games used to be, though? You had the BCS. You had all your BCS bowl games, right? Mm-hmm. And it was six of them. But now, like, it's just some of the games, just there's there. Like, you're excited to watch them, especially if you're a fan of that team. But from a nationalist perspective, I feel like the national perspective, that the college football playoff distracts those other bowl games like no other.
Yeah, it's a kind of, yeah, well, it took some of the shimmer and shine off of the bowl games. Just because, I mean, it was more controversial back then, and winning a bowl game was about the biggest thing you could do at the end of the season. I mean, sometimes there was one team at the end of the season that was declared, like, unanimous national champion without too much controversy, you know? But a lot of times there wasn't. There was like, oh, I wish we could have seen those two teams play after their bowl game. And that's what we have now. It's a better system. I mean, it's a shame that we don't get it's a shame that the rest of the bowl games have to suffer, but it just didn't make any sense. The country needed a national champion.
Yeah. In my opinion. No, I'm not even arguing that. Like, that's not the debate. I just think that it's interesting just the fact of, think of like the Rose Bowl or the Cotton Bowl or some of these other big bowl games that had so much hype in most years, right?
Yeah.
And this year, like, I'm stoked for them, but I don't think the casual fan is anymore. I really don't. I think the casual fan is, if your teams are not in, if your school, your diehard loyalty four is in, you're not going to be as interested in it.
Well, let's talk about maybe some bowl games that you might be stoked for.
Okay.
You got any bowl games that you're, one that really sticks out to you, that you're really excited?
Yeah, I'll throw one out there. The one I kind of just said, the Rose Bowl. I'm stoked to see USC versus Penn State. And the reason being that these are arguably two of the hottest teams in the country going into this game. USC was on a tear
in the Pac-10 at the end of the year. Absolutely, yeah.
They beat the hell out of Washington, in Washington. But they just had three losses in the early in the season. Got absolutely spanked by Alabama in the opener. But USC is a really – they've improved drastically throughout this season. And then you look at Penn State, they finished the season on fire, right? I mean, they won the conference. And they just – in the second half, they seem to overwhelm teams lately. And so I'm fascinated. I just want to see what's going to happen. You have two different conferences. Is the Big Ten that good?
So is the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day every day? Or what day is it?
The Rose Bowl. Hold on 1 second. I'll get that for you.
I'm making you look up too much stuff here. I can help out with this. Yeah. So I'm excited for that, man. I'm also excited. You know, I'm a Western Michigan fan. As I referenced my party days there back when I was a teenager. And Western Michigan went unbeaten on the season. And now they get to play a tough, serious opponent and show the rest of the country whether or not they were for real. You know, they got to play Wisconsin. Who? Matt, tell me a little bit about Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin had one hell of a year, and they played in the Big Ten championship game. They barely lost to Ohio State in overtime. They lost a close game at Michigan. So they've lost, and they lost Penn State. The losses they've had are close games to the best teams in the country. And their defense is stacked. It's just, can they ever get the offense to really put them over the hump? Because their defense can compete with anybody in the country besides Alabama.
Yeah. I got you. So say Western Michigan is on a tear and ends up beating Wisconsin. What about it? What implications does that have?
Badassness?
Yeah, badassness.
That's a terrible word in terrible radio. Literally, though, that's what I think of. I'm going to root for them like no other.
Yeah.
Underdogs are so fun. Remember Boise State versus Oklahoma?
I do.
Yeah, back to Statue of Liberty play.
How many trick plays in that game?
Just many.
Blowing them up with it.
Adrian Peterson on that OU team. But
what?
Yeah, it was that.
I remember watching Adrian Peterson. I'm hoping to
have
a moment.
I feel like sports is the opportunity you get these type of moments. And I'm hoping we can have a moment like that with Western Michigan, having that Cinderella season finished off by beating a top 10 team in the country.
If Western Michigan beats Wisconsin, I feel like there's absolutely no excuse to not extend the playoffs to 8 games.
so Western Michigan can get in there.
Yeah, because you gotta be able to if I mean, so they finished that, and then they're what 12-0 on the season, 13-0 on the season,
12-0 I believe,
12-0 on the season, and they have a top 10 victory in their
if,
thing.
If you don't have a loss, you're right.
Yeah,
granted,
ridiculous.
They haven't beat any team like with above a top 30 team in the country.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
It's gonna be interesting. So the Rose Bowl is on January 2nd.
Okay. For some reason, I always thought it was on January 1st, but I guess it changes up.
The granddaddy of them all, right? You'd think, but
I'll switch them up. Yeah. So man, those are some stuff I'm excited for. Talk about some of the other great bowl games.
I mean, I always root for Michigan. So Michigan and Florida State, I think, is really interesting, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Florida State's been a powerhouse for a long time. Michigan
just has so much intrigue behind their program right now with Harbaugh.
Yeah,
it's just like
the Harbaugh
Peppers. Sports icon.
Yeah, they have so many things you're really interested in. So I think that is a fascinating game. Then you have some of the other ones. Some of the smaller bowl games I think would be really interesting.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I like bowl season, right? That's a day where you can just watch football all day. It's on all day. Right? I mean, you have the Sugar Bowl. You have Auburn versus Oklahoma.
Exciting.
It's just SEC versus Big 12 now. Is the Big 12 really that good? Oklahoma got absolutely spanked by Ohio State. But they've looked good at the end of the season, right? It's just fun because you get all these cross-conference play.
It hasn't happened in months because everyone's been playing in their own conference. And so it's hard to predict exactly what's going to happen when a team from the Big Ten's got to play a team from the SEC or something, you know, like
Florida's playing Iowa.
Okay.
Big Ten, SEC.
Yeah.
Talk about two different programs.
Yeah. Is there any teams that you felt that should have got paired up into a bowl game and didn't?
Honestly, I don't know enough about that.
There's just so many bowl games.
Yeah, there's so many of them now. And yeah, but anyway, then we haven't even talked about the playoff. I think Clemson, Ohio State is going to be amazing. I think there's so much NFL talent on that field. And can Deshaun Watson put them over the top? Is he going to outperform JT Barrett, the senior leader for Ohio State?
Who won the Heisman?
Oh, how are we going to talk about that?
Yeah.
Who won the Heisman?
Let's talk about this. Did Lamar Jackson win the Heisman?
Yeah.
Okay.
Runaway.
Runaway. Deshaun Watson was the only other guy being considered.
Yeah.
Heavily. Who else do you think?
Well, I mean, there's a couple players.
I thought there was an argument for Deshaun Watson to make it, but maybe just Lamar Jackson's stats too impressive.
Well, yeah, his stats were unbelievable. His stats were, I mean, his rushing yards, with passing yards, and everything was like no other. So that made all the difference that way.
Well, Watson won the head-to-head.
Watson did win the head-to-head.
And his team is in the college football playoffs.
Well, I thought it was cool that you had two OU players in it. You had Baker Mayfield and Dede Westbrook, the receiver from Oklahoma. So I thought that was pretty fascinating.
Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
What a name. and then it's his wide receiver. How impressive is that guy?
He had great – his yards per catch, and he had an amazing season. He was great. I mean, he don't get in the Heisman candidate for –
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't Calvin Johnson great or anything like that, and he's not even going to be a first-round pick. But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, yeah, it's fascinating.
Interesting.
Is there anything else you want to get into with college football?
I feel pretty good. Let's move on to something else.
All right, well, let's start with some NFL talk here.
Great.
And so we're going to shape this a little bit different. So we're going to talk about two players right now. And the reason driving this is the MVP discussion. You have all these things. You keep hearing Derek Carr, Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, Matthew Stafford, your boy, Bobby.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to focus in on two players. And the reason why is these two players both missed significant amount of time this season due to suspensions.
Mm-hmm.
And the player I'll talk about is Tom Brady. And Bob, you'll get Le'Veon Bell covered, all right?
Let's do it.
So let me just throw out some of Brady's stats this year. Just, I'll make his case as an MVP. Tom Brady is completing 68.5% of his passes, so almost 70%. 70% is like the gold standard. And he's averaging 320 yards a game, and he has 22 touchdowns, only two interceptions. Two interceptions. Tom Brady is an absolutely...
Oh, my God.
There you go. Bob got some ads going, and I was looking up... Sorry about that. We had some ads going, and just for throw a little change up there. A little change up. But my point is that Tom Brady is having another historic season. How many times can we say this? Tom Brady is, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. And I just want to say, he missed four games this season, but he's still the best player in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he's performing.
I don't think that's news to anybody that he's the the best quarterback of all time, in my opinion. I don't really think there's anybody that belongs on the same tier as him as far as what he's been able to accomplish over an extended period of time. And then he's just still dominating. He looks like the best quarterback in the league week after week. Impossible to sack.
Yes, that's another great stat. He's been sacked 12 times this year. By far the lowest in the league.
Yeah.
And the reason why, he gets the ball out. It's not because the offensive line's way superior. He doesn't have the Cowboys offensive line.
He just makes the read. Ball out. He makes the read and, like, and he makes a decision and he gets the ball there. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that I just wanted to make a case for Brady. Truly his season is greatness right now. 22 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's only played 9 games this year.
So what do you think? Do you think there's – well, let me give the case for Le'Veon Bell, and then we'll talk about some other stuff. So Le'Veon Bell just came off the most dominant – if there was one game where one player dominated this season, it was Le'Veon Bell this previous week. He almost had 300 yards from scrimmage and just kind of carried the Steelers to victory in a must-win game. They're in a tight playoff race, and they beat the Bills. The dude's got 1,600 yards from scrimmage despite missing the first 3 games of the year. He's averaging 161 yards per game. That's 30 yards more than Ezekiel Elliott, 20 yards more than David Johnson. I mean, it's nuts. What this guy's doing, he's just dominating the league.
He's dominating in multifaceted. Multi-dimensional. He can do multiple things. I don't know why I just got a brain fart there.
Okay.
But anyway, he could start at receiver for many teams in this league. Screw running back. Put him at receiver. He could start at receiver for many teams in this league. Not just a handful. I'm saying 10 plus.
I think almost every team would take him at receiver.
You're probably right.
He's filthy.
You're probably right. That's probably even stupid saying. He's the second best receiver on Pittsburgh right now.
Yeah.
The best running back in the game. The thing that I appreciate about Le'Veon Bell is nobody else can run like. His style is so unique, and nobody else can run. If you watch him, he's extremely patient, beyond patient. But the reason why he can be this patient is because he has the acceleration to explode through the hole to gain the yards when it opens.
So interesting watching his stance while he's running, because he stays kind of straight up. And he keeps it, and he keeps his legs a little bit wide, where he can shift either way, and he gets right up behind his blocker, kind of feels out where the block is going to go, where the hole is going to be, and then kind of makes his decision, and then starts going. But I feel like so many guys that are downhill runners, I mean, he's leading the league in yards per somewhere. Two yards per average at post after contact right now.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell. So it's not that he's not a power runner and that he's just juking everybody, but he's juking everybody and he's powering through people.
He falls forward every run.
Yeah. And it, I don't know. I'm so impressed every time I watch the guy with just his balance, his grace, and his just understanding of how to pick up yards as a running back.
Yeah.
Super, super impressive.
One way I could think as a fan is... So the game on Sunday, right? They're playing the Bills. It was a snowy atmosphere, old school type game it felt, and wasn't tons of points, wasn't Big Ben throwing to Antonio all over the place. Le'Veon Bell got 38 rushing attempts. 38 in one game. That's unheard of in this day and age.
Yeah, nobody
and
does that.
You know what's weird? Is the game didn't even seem that close, but I was fascinated by it because I enjoy watching Le'Veon Bell that much. Hmm. Like, he was just getting the ball every time, and I was like, cool. I want to watch him run. Mm-hmm. It's enjoyable. Is not the gunslinger, spread them out, throw it everywhere, which Pittsburgh can do, which is the scary part. But
yeah,
I think it's just graceful.
I mean, it's not the same type of Most of the time, who are some other guys that got the ball handed to him that many times? You know, like Ricky Williams took a ton of carries. Jamal Lewis took a ton of carries. Different guys like this.
Priest Holmes is actually one.
Priest Holmes, the dude from Tennessee, Broadway star. What's his name?
You're talking about the Ohio State?
Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, he played at Ohio State. Eddie George.
Eddie George, yeah. Eddie George took a ton of carries, but none of these guys were the same type of runner. You know, they were workhorses. You give them the ball, and they're going to get 3 yards. Le'Veon Bell, anytime you give them the ball, he might take it to the
house. Barry Sanders was that way, right?
Yeah, Barry Sanders is a ton of fun. But there's something, I don't know, there's just something special about Le'Veon Bell and his skill set, his talent. Special and then also
he catches 7 passes a game.
Yeah.
And he runs receiver routes. He's not just running little swings as a running back.
No.
You just appreciate it. You appreciate watching him.
He steps into the slot.
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, also, just to give a quick shout out on this, David Johnson did the same thing for the Cardinals.
Is a beast.
He is an absolute animal. If you play fantasy football, you know how good he is.
So my little brother Danny, his fantasy football team, he's got Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, and DeMarco Murray.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I knew that. That's why he was dominating the whole season.
He's running away with that.
Yeah.
Running away with that league.
Yeah, I think he's – yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to get into that. He kicked my ass. so it was just – I think it's just good that we can make a case for both these players. But the thing that's unique about it is they both missed time. Brady missed 4 games. Bell missed 3 games.
Well, that's really the only detriment to their MVP candidacies. Otherwise, I feel like if this game is – say the season's 3 games shorter right now, I feel like there's no one else that's even in question. It's either going to be Le'Veon Bell – or Tom Brady for the MVP.
Yeah.
They're having the best seasons.
Them or Elliott. I think Elliott's in that case too. Just because he's leading the league in rushing.
Okay. It'll be really interesting. Do you want a tangent or do you want to keep going on MVP, Le'Veon Bell, Tom Brady stuff?
I think I'm all right. Do you have something you want to get into?
Yeah, well, I just wanted
Le'Veon Bell's 4th in the league in rushing right now. 4th. In the league in rushing, and he missed 3 games. That's all I want to say.
No, you're good. You're good. I feel like we had something interesting. Do you remember we had some interesting talk and we were like, save it for the podcast? I can't remember. Whatever it is. Okay. NFC playoff race right now is pretty dang fascinating. Because the Giants whooped the Cowboys. They beat them, you know?
They beat them twice.
Yeah, they beat them twice.
Only team the Cowboys have lost to.
Yeah, and the Cowboys weren't able to put together anything offensively against them.
Credit the Giants' defense. They have a good defense.
Yeah, forced Prescott into situations where he was going to have to make a play, and he wasn't able to make it. I'm not sure how they were able to.
Charles Jenkins locked down Dez Bryant, too.
He did. Mm-hmm. He did. Dez Bryant made a couple mistakes, some drops. Janoris Jenkins played great. I'm not sure how they were able to shut down the running game for so long.
It's just they match up well. I mean, it's one thing to say is in their own conference, right? You have the NFC East, so they know them well. They play them twice a year. That's always a tougher game.
Yeah,
because they know them well, and you got to give the Giants credit. One thing with the Giants is usually teams that like spend all their money in free agency and all these players like. They always backfires. Always. If you're the highest spending team in free agency in the NFL, usually it backfires. I would say 90% of the time.
It's just not the way to succeed.
No. This year, Giants hit home runs, it seems like. Janoris Jenkins playing great at corner.
Mm-hmm.
You got the big D tackle. What the hell is his name? Harrison. He's freaking one of the best D tackles. Eating up the run block. Why do you think they can't run? He's a 340-pound man in there. Yeah. You have Olivia Vernon, the D end. He caused a bunch of ruckus out there with his motor. I mean, it's just stuff's paying off, and it's really unique. But yeah. do you see?
I mean, they've been slept on up to this point, but they're at 9-4 right now.
Yeah, 9-4.
9-4 still have potential to beat the Cowboys. Cowboys got a tough schedule coming up.
Yeah, they have potential. I still think the Cowboys will win the division. But I
seems like it.
The thing that makes me nervous with the Giants is I don't trust that offense at all. I feel like if Odell Beckham wasn't on that offense, they'd be awful. Beckham just seems to make a 70-yard touchdown the last couple weeks to save them.
Well, they do have Beckham on the offense.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
But anyway, don't trust him. I just don't trust that offense. It's not like that offense was any good. Right?
No. No, they their scored offense 10 wasn't points. Good. Their offense wasn't good.
Beckham had a 60-yard great play.
That play was remarkable. He's in the trees, and
he's so and he fast. Has he gets
the,
out
some of
there.
The fastest guys in the league neck and neck with him, and they just weren't able to catch up to him. No, you know, it was nuts.
Yeah,
that was crazy. Okay, so Giants schedule coming up: Lions, and then two away games at the Eagles and at the Redskins.
Tough.
Yeah, tough, tough. Especially,
I think they could easily lose two of those games.
Yeah, and the Cowboys have got a tough schedule too. The Cowboys, fascinating stuff coming up. They still got to play the Lions.
They play Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. How about this? Let's give a shout out to Tampa Bay real quick. Tampa Buccaneers are in the wild card right now, and they are 8-5. And one of our loyal listeners, Justice, hit me up today saying you better give a shout out to the Buccaneers. And hey, Winston's playing great. Their defense is playing out of this world right now, and they got a primetime game Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys.
Exciting.
God, let's go Bucks. All right.
That's this Sunday.
Yeah.
This Sunday night.
Yeah.
Let's get together.
We should.
You and me, Justice. Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah, who else the Cowboys got? Did you see on there?
Oh, so they got the Bucks and then the Lions. All right. Day after Christmas.
Lions are really tough.
Monday night football.
Okay.
And then, so two primetime games in a row, and then they got an away game at the Eagles to finish up the season.
Yeah, it's
no not easy games, man.
No
easy games for the Cowboys. They could, I mean,
don't sleep on the Lions. Your team.
I'm not sleeping on the Lions.
They
man.
Keep pulling out victories. They don't look pretty. Oh, Matthew Stafford though dislocated middle finger and his thrown hand.
Well, this was the analysis I saw with Matt Stafford on his dislocated finger on his middle finger. So apparently, it's not that big a deal. If it was an edge finger, like your pinky or your index finger or your thumb. Much bigger deal. But because it's one of the two middle fingers, it's not going to affect his
thumb,
mechanics
couldn't
as
do
much
anything.
Or his grip quite
Thumb's
as much.
Thumb's the most important.
Thumb's the most important. But apparently the pinky's the next most important.
Because of stabilization and spin.
Yeah. So having it there, like, apparently you could chop off your middle finger and still play quarterback. That's what I heard. What I read.
Well, I guess he played the whole game with it, so.
Yeah.
Another game-winning drive for the freaking Lions.
Did you see that rush?
Yeah, it was good.
The rush that he made. Yeah, he was good. Evading people.
He's elusive.
He looks fast, man. This is what I think about Matthew Stafford. I think he's older now. I think he's not partying. I think he's married and just thinking about work
just
and
focused.
Starting a family, raising the kids. It's not like the same. Not saying he was like a party boy, Johnny Manziel, anything like that, but I think he was kind of like a guy that during the off season go have beers with his friends and go to the lake or chill, whatever. And now I think he's work mode, man. He came into the season and I saw him and I was like, dude, he looks great. He's 15 pounds lighter and more muscular, way, way faster. All of a sudden he's a rushing quarterback.
I don't feel like there's really anything you can say bad about Stafford this year. Jim Bob Cooter, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, is doing something right.
Jim Bob Cooter. That's got to be on the all-time great names list for just anybody. Yeah, anything.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Terrific.
Anyway,
terrific.
So that still kind of covers into our NFC playoff picture. And I just think Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the most surprising right now, setting up the wild card at 8-5. And you have the Washington Redskins looming there with a big win over the Eagles this weekend. And really, the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs for sure. They've all but clinched. Then you have the Giants, second wild card. Then the Lions winning the NFC North right now. Then Seattle, who looked miserable against Green Bay this past weekend. God, I love seeing Seattle lose. It makes me so happy. It's insane. The fact that the Niners blew that lead against the Jets it was awful and I felt terrible. But seeing Seattle and Russell Wilson throw 5 interceptions, made me feel good. Anyway, Seattle sitting
there.
Those
weren't all his fault.
No, Doug Baldwin bounced off his face mask. But anyway, it was anyway, they're still sitting there. They're going to win the division. Arizona lost again. But Seattle's going to win the NFC West. And then in the Atlanta Falcons demolished the Rams, which Jeff Fisher got fired. No, I'm not surprised at all. The most mediocre coach of all time. He tied the all-time loss record. With that loss with Dan Reeves, 165 losses in your coaching career.
Shame he'll never get a chance to break that. well, so Todd Gurley, visibly frustrated during the Rams game, And then he comes out with a statement saying, we're running a middle school offense.
Exactly.
Coach gets fired the next day.
Have you seen that offense? It's an atrocious. I feel bad for Jared Goff. We've talked about Jared Goff, the first overall pick last year.
I feel bad for Todd Gurley. I feel like Todd Gurley is right up there with most talented, capable runners in the league, and he's just not being set up for success.
Yeah, you're right. But
yeah.
We'll see what happens. But anyway, Jeff Fisher's fired. First firing in the NFL season. But, yeah, so you're sitting there with Atlanta Falcons playing really well as well. And so the NFC playoff picture is getting pretty interesting.
Yeah, you got the you got the Falcons and the Bucks, right? Both tied at 8-5 in the NFC South. This next week the Buccaneers, if they go out there and they beat the Cowboys this week, they're my pick to win that one. It's kind of on that game to me.
Well, they still have another game as the Saints this year, which is good.
Saints and Panthers, I think, are out.
That's who they play. I believe their last two games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
But anyway, yeah. I don't know. I think Atlanta's playing great right now. It's going to be hard to pick that one.
The NFC North, man, I know we already talked about it a little bit, but the Packers are on fire.
Are you nervous the Lions might lose the last three games and Packers win the division?
I am nervous, yeah.
The Lions' schedule is brutal.
It's hard as hell. We got the – who do we have? We got to play the Packers.
Got to play the Cowboys.
And the Giants.
That's brutal.
We got to win one.
Just win one and you clinch.
Yeah, win one of them. Win. We beat the Packers. I mean, the Packers head to head
though. Packers own the tiebreaker. Packers beat the Lions this year.
But we still got to play the Packers.
They beat the Packers. That are in.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, most likely. I don't know. Then they're tied on the season. It goes by conference record.
I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, the Packers don't have a cakewalk either. They have three. Their last three games are their three divisional games. So they got
at Chicago.
At Chicago. Minnesota, Detroit.
I have complete faith they'll beat Chicago and Minnesota. Well, Chicago is playing better.
Complete faith they'll beat Minnesota.
Yes.
Interesting.
I have
Minnesota's got the same record.
Minnesota might have the worst offensive line in football. Them and Jacksonville.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Talk about the elementary offense. They don't throw the ball.
Their secondary, dude. I love watching that secondary.
Minnesota?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. Xavier Rhodes and Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
Freaking Truman, Terrence Newman, the old vet.
Yeah, Terrence Newman, man, I forget about him. No. I've just been super impressed with Rhodes. It seems like that dude is just locked down. Maybe if I had to pick one corner that I've been the most impressed with this season, it's been Rhodes. I think he's been first. Like, he's probably going to be first team.
It's going to be hard with all these big names. Patrick Peterson's going to be the best one, I think, this year. He's had an amazing year. Patrick Peterson's had an amazing year.
Yeah?
Yeah, locking people down.
Okay.
Rhodes has as well. Sherman, I still think, would get him. I don't know. Maybe Sherman won't get him over Rhodes. I don't know.
Interesting.
A lot of it's in the stardom type thing as well. But anyway, back to the NFC picture. It's just really fascinating, and it's exciting to see how it's going to play out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anything else you want to touch on with the NFL?
Nah, man.
I'm good to go.
Let's move on.
So let's go. You got to do some little rapid riots?
Sure. Yeah. All right. Time for the rapid riots. I hope you weren't going to take the one that I'm about to take.
Go ahead. You can go first.
Holly Holm. Holly Holm announced for the first inaugural UFC 145 women's championship fight coming up. It was literally just announced. So there's never been a 145 division in the UFC, and Holly Holm was elected as the first person with opportunity to fight with that, and she's going to be fighting Jermaine Durandamy. So let's find out about Jermaine Durandamy. I've never heard of her before. It's just exciting, man. It's coming off of kind of a tough year for Holly Holm. So it's exciting. It's exciting. She's got this opportunity, maybe in a weight class that lends more towards her strength, because in her last fight she was kind of outsped by a smaller girl, and it's just cool. There's going to be another opportunity for her to succeed. I'm excited for that.
All right, let's go, Holly Holm. Love the sport. All right, my rapid right here is we haven't talked about this, and we have to get him some NBA action. Russell Westbrook right now. He's on a – it's not even a word to say he's a tear. He's just doing historical things right now. He is averaging a triple-double still. He had a point where seven straight games with a triple-double. And you know the one game –
did that break?
Yeah, it broke. But you know what? It's okay. He scored 38, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. And he also hit the game-winning shot. So it's he's still okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Russell Westbrook is playing out of his mind, and if he hits three more triple-doubles this calendar year, he will set the NBA record for most triple-doubles.
That will definitely happen.
Beating the Big O.
I'm not positive that'll happen.
It's just it's something you got to appreciate. The intensity that guy plays with and the passion he has for the game, and it's just unbelievable athleticism, is so fun to watch. And he's kind of silenced a lot of his KD thing with the Thunder playing very well right now. I don't think they have a chance in the playoffs because if you don't look, the Warriors are dominating. But it's still fascinating, and my shout-out to Russell Westbrook, and we'll see. It's possible we could average triple-double the whole season.
Yeah, we got into it a little bit last week with Westbrook, man. Like, what he's doing is just legendary. No one's talked about this stuff since Oscar Robertson. No one's been able to put up any type of numbers like this, and that's just like an entire different era of basketball. So what he's doing has not been done by any of the standards of the way that the basketball is played today. So it's remarkable. He's a remarkable athlete all around, from his explosiveness to his coordination to his endurance to his strength, speed, quickness, agility, just must-see TV, I feel like, with this guy.
Must-see.
I watch like almost all of his highlights. Every day.
I
check
the box score every day to see what he does.
So much fun.
So just some advanced analytics that were run on this. If he plays every game this season, which means harder to average a triple-double because you're playing more, he has currently has a 27% chance to average a triple-double.
27%.
Which I feel is still ridiculously high.
I wonder how many triple-doubles he would have if, like, I don't know.
I mean, it's 40. All variable. It's variable.
I don't know what the record is.
For yeah, it's a variable, right? Because you could have 15 assists one game, you know.
Anyways, that's going to be it for our episode this week. Thanks for checking in. Hope to see you all at the Lobo game. Give us a shout-out if you see us over there at the tailgate.
Let's go, both.
Ton of fun. We'll be covering that game next week on the podcast. Excited. Thanks for checking in. Check us out, Twitter. We're going to be building a Facebook page. We're doing all kinds of different stuff. Excited. We're going to be having a Christmas listener appreciation party that we're still setting up, trying to get prizes together for you guys. Matt, you got anything else to say?
Let's go Lobo football. Hopefully make us feel a little better besides Lobo basketball, but we won't get into that right now.
Peace. Rest in the valley, and my shadows open up. Bury all my expectations for the semi-normal lover. With the turning in my palm, massaging into my blood, I try to fight away my urges. It's only gonna rope you up, girl. Hear me, I know my capabilities are breaking, and the only thing that saves you from